Good evening and welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. We are coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. I'm Douglas Impoga. This evening we'll talk about upcoming elections in Africa in 2015. And with us tonight is my colleague, Patrick Deya. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Well, pleasure to be here, Douglas.
Thank you. And joining us from Durban, South Africa, is regular panelist, Suleiman Mugula. He's an independent political analyst. Good evening, Suleiman.
Good evening, Douglas, and the listeners.
Thank you for being on the show once again.
The pleasure is mine.
Gentlemen, as I said, our topic tonight is we're looking at elections coming up in the year 2015. Across the continent, there are quite a number of elections, and some people refer to are re-elections. Some of them are so-so. So, gentlemen, let's begin in Zambia. Zambia will be the first election in Africa in the year 2015. The election is due on January 20th. As you know, this is a presidential by-election after the death of the former president, and now President Scott is acting president. And he is going to be organizing these elections. Let me start in Durban. First of all, Zambia has a track record of organizing free and fair elections, at least for the time being.
True. That is why there is excitement. That is why there is a lot of fighting at a political party level. That is why the country is concertized, because at least as far as elections are concerned, Zambia has got a good track record. They are real democratic, transparent, free, and fair election. The ground is leveled. They have got an independent electoral commission. The commission itself is credible. It is well-resourced, or may not be as much as they might need, but it is favorably resourced. There is no interference from the incumbent, and in this particular circumstance, the incumbent is not even standing, is neutral. The security forces are not involved at all. They are there to protect the citizens of Zambia. They have got a vibrant and free media. The citizenry is well informed. Over and above, there is total agreement on as far as the competitors are concerned about the processes, the legal and administrative instruments under which the elections are to be held. When you are going to hold such an election, we believe that is a true election. It is a democratic, it's a transparent, free and fair election. We wish the people of Zambia good luck, and we hope they will continue to be one of the shining examples on the continent. We don't expect much violence. We don't expect any violence. We don't expect any rigging. We expect a smooth election so that Zambia continues from where it stopped.
Patrick, other people have attributed this predictability in the Zambian by-election to the institutions being there, that, you know, if in case the president, something happens to him, there can be there's a laid-down procedure in which he can be replaced, as opposed to other countries where the president is the state, he's all institutions, he's the police, he's the judiciary, he's the electoral commission.
Huh? Yes, and the institutions are there, and most importantly, the institutions are respected by the authorities, and that is a very, very big ingredient in any government. In a lot of the African countries, even those that have chaos and whatnot, they have some semblance of institutions, but they totally get rubbished during elections by either the incumbent or the party that is the ruling party. So this is fresh air for Africa, really, to see a country like Zambia being an example of how transitions should happen in a democracy.
I see. Suleiman, let's move east of the continent now to Nigeria. Nigeria will have a general election in February 14th. But this is a country that is part of the country in the northeast is consumed by insurgency. And how do you say election, a free and fair election, when part of the country, actually there's no freedom of movement or people are scared of the insurgents?
It is a very controversial election, but it seems the people of Nigeria have taken it to be a referendum on the current administration, because at least the political parties are getting geared for the election. They are preparing themselves. Candidates have been nominated, and the various political parties now have leadership, and they are getting ready. And most important, as we have been saying, is that so long as the country has got the institutions to hold the elections will be able to tell whether the people have got confidence into the current government or not. It is like a referendum. Mm-hmm. But by and large, if we are to comment on the institutions in Nigeria, yes, the elections before 2011, before the 2011 elections, that was very disorganized election. There was a lot of ballot stuffing, but considerably, the 2011 elections, which put this current government in power, were fairly well conducted and they were fairly clean. So we expect even this time they are going to build from what they have had, and they will be able to produce a better election. Yes, the challenges are there, but let's hope those challenges will be the testing, the acid test for those who are competent.
Patrick, if Nigeria...
I think the biggest question that may arise from this election, considering all the chaos in the Boko Haram stronghold in the Niger Delta, is whether if people are disenfranchised and therefore they cannot get to the ballot boxes because of fear of violence or the government is, you know, cannot protect them during voting, and therefore they get discouraged from voting or going to the polls at all. The question becomes how legitimate does that government coming in, not having been represented in certain areas of the country and in a large chunk of the country. Yes, we know that the elections are never won 100% by the coming president, but when a good portion of the country is not given a chance to vote and therefore air their opinion whether they want to vote that government in or not, then the issue of the legitimacy of the real mandate for the government becomes at issue. And again, that is something that would probably hang over the coming, administration. And therefore, would they even have support within those areas? Do they get further, marginalized because of not having participated and being a violent area? Does the government just completely ignore them because they didn't, they didn't help put them in?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big question that I think would hang over in Nigeria.
I see. Talking of legitimacy, Suleiman, there's another election in East Africa, the Horn of Africa, in Ethiopia. Ethiopia goes to elections also, general elections in May of 2015. This is a country where this will be the first election where people are going to the polls since the death of Meles, the former president, the prime minister was there. But then their results seems to be predictable in that the ruling party is unchallenged, sort of.
I would like, first of all, to sum up on Nigeria. My colleague has said the question of the violence in one part of the country. Yes, it is true. There is violence in a big portion of the country. But I have also to look at two issues here as far as Nigeria is concerned. Number one, the percentage of people to be disenfranchised. Then number two, the election itself, as I've said, is like a referendum. Some politicians, the majority of the opposition politicians, feel that the incumbent has failed to create stability, has failed in so many aspects. Some of them feel the elections are a chance to give the country a new beginning. So that is why many of them, it is almost unanimous in most of the political parties that they have accepted to go into the election. I feel that so long as the competitors have agreed within themselves, so long as there is some agreement in the stakeholders, I think let's give them chance to conduct the election so that we see what the people themselves, the people of Nigeria, will say as far as the leadership is concerned.
I see.
On Ethiopia. Ethiopia is one of the classic examples of the old dictatorships of the so-called new generation of leaders who came in. Melis was in that category of Museveni, Kabila, Kagame, who were one time baptized as the hope of the continent, as a new generation of leadership, and who ended up disappointing the country, transforming their country into dictatorships. Yes, Melis passed away. With the new leadership that succeeded the Melis, I don't see any change from what Melis left behind. The status quo still continues as it were. The oppositions have not been given any opportunity to participate. Those who are in prison, they have continued to be in prison. The journalists who are in prison, they have continued to be in prison. Still, it is a police state as it were, regardless of what achievements they are getting. But as far as democracy is concerned, we don't expect much from them. The results are predictable. They are going to win with high numbers because since 2005, when they arrested and killed many opposition leaders, they have not changed their stance. They are still the same oppressive regime, and they are going to rig the election in their favor, no matter how benevolent they may appear. So long as you don't allow other voices to participate, you are still a dictator, regardless of however benevolent you may look.
Patrick.
This election in Ethiopia is just a show. That's what it is. It's a show because, really, it's not an election. An election should be defined as a process where different parties are given an equal chance and a fair game in winning on issues and policies and whatnot. This one, where all the opposition, there's literally no opposition because of what my friend has said. It's a dictatorship through and through, and this election is just really, it's a sham. So I don't even know why you know such events, I would call it an event, should be even given the word elections, because they really are not. Ethiopia is continuing in that domain of the dominance of the ruling party and completely vanquishing anybody who, stands up to say, hey, we need to change direction. We need to have a process where this becomes a democratic, country or process. It's ridiculous.
And would it surprise any of you if at the end of that election, the election is declared by groups like AU as being free and fair?
We know what AU always does. I mean, AU is a group of the same kind of thinkers. If AU is being headed by people like Museveni, what would you expect? I mean, AU will say anything. That, because they find themselves, the majority of the leaders of AU find themselves in the very same situation. They come into power with so much hope. Museveni, Kagame, in Zimbabwe with Mugabe, they come in with so much hope for the people that there's going to be change or second liberation or whatnot. And then they stay on forever and ever, bringing up, policies that make them stronger and stronger, completely vanquishing the opposition. So, of course, they have an interest to say it was fair and free, because they're looking forward to when their turn comes And so they should get the same kind of, you know. So I wouldn't be surprised if AU did say that. But does it make it free and fair? No, of course not.
I see. Well, we'll take a short break and we'll come back to continue our discussion of African elections in the year 2015.
African Music Mix.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African Music Mix on The Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. North to the south and from the east to the west, the African Music Mix plays only the best. Tune in from 0 to 300 hours UTC and from 11 to 1300 hours UTC every single day on The Voice of America.
Looking for something? Headline news, interviews, analysis? We've got it all on voaafrica.com.
voaafrica.com.
Welcome back. This is The Voice of America, and you're listening to Reporters Roundtable. We are coming to you live from The Voice of America studios here in Washington. Our topic tonight is Africa's upcoming elections. Our panelists are my colleague, Patrick Deya and Suleiman Mgula, an independent political analyst based in South Africa. Suleiman, we're talking of those processes, and there's another unique election, a bit similar to Zambia, but quite different in a way. This is the election in Burkina Faso, where they had a strong man who was ousted, and then the army came in, and then there was pressure, and then they struck a deal with some politicians. Now and agreed to go on for 1 year, and then in November they'll have election. What's your comment on this election? Is the army, because the army still holds sway in that country, are they capable? Are they capable and willing to organize a free and fair election?
Before I come to Burkina Faso, I wanted to sum up where my colleague has
go ahead
on the role of the AU in the coming elections in Ethiopia, as you had asked. I think this is a classic example of one of the failures which the continent is facing. We have got two sides. We have got two sides in these elections in Africa. Those who are democratic, they are continuing to make progress, and they are refining the processes. Those which are dictatorship, they are continuing to entrench dictatorship. They are continuing to entrench rigging. They are continuing to entrench all the practices connected with election. What is most absurd, which should be a question of discussion for the African people, is what are the role of the regional organization, and then as far as observing and commentaries on these elections are concerned. The way my colleague has said, you get a totally fraud election like that one in Zimbabwe, those ones in Uganda, those ones in Rwanda, Burkina Faso before the overthrow of Compaoré, Egypt, and so on. Then AU just certifies them free and fair. So are the international community. So what is the role of this organization? Are they perpetuating dictatorship, or they are there to see a continent working in progress? I think by and large we can conclusively say our institutions have let us down. Regional organization, the way my colleague has said, because the leadership within these institutions or these countries are dictators themselves, it reflects on the way the institution behaves. So our regional organization, because they have got dictators, they also support dictators. The AU, the majority of our leaders are dictators. When they observe election, they don't even care. They observe elections with their eyes closed, and they open their eyes writing a report. So we have no future so long as these organizations continue to behave like this. Let's not rely on the international community to help us organize good elections. Our regional organization should be able to help the continent to get a better election. Burkina Faso, quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Burkina Faso I think there is hope in Burkina Faso because the manner in which the government was overthrown by mass mobilization by the people, and the way the transition has been handled also, because the transitional government was given conditions to work on. Yes, the soldiers might be very strong, but remember, there is a population out there, and we wouldn't like to get people like Captain Kamara trying to hijack a revolution. I don't think they'll be able to succeed in case of Burkina Faso. We have all the hope because the way it has been done, it is similar to the way it was done in Liberia, where you had a neutral transitional government which will not participate in the elections. So it is able to organize a transparent, free election to enable those who will govern the country. I have hope and I believe the Burkina Faso will not let down the continent. It will be able to sort out its case and get a good, free and fair election.
Yes, and now there is. Let's move on to Tanzania. Tanzania is interesting because they hold a constitutional referendum in April, and then they are planning their general election in October. But the ruling party, the CCM, Chama Cha Mapinduzi, this is a pre-independence party, and it's still running strong and hopefully to win, though they have been made progress in that they have been changing leadership. Let's begin with Patrick and then swing it to Suleiman.
I think Tanzania is a unique country, and unique in a good way. We've seen election after election where, although the dominant party is the original party, but it has been good for Tanzania. One thing that for myself, I think, Nyerere, the first president, having established such a strong sense of nationalism and a patriotism within the Tanzanian people, that they look at themselves as one unit, as a country, as a people first, before their individual interests. And I think that is what has sustained them over the period of time. And because there's really no atrocity that the ruling party, the real ruling party, has meted on its people, there is still so much trust in them. And they've shown that the elections can be free and fair, and the person that wins fairly. So although, yes, it's the original party that came into power, but they have done good for its people. So my hope is definitely that Tanzania will move on and will get, will be the same Tanzania that we expect during election. Very quickly about Burkina Faso, but the only hope for me is that when an army is involved, I'm hoping that they would completely keep out and be a neutral spectator in this affair. The only danger is if, and this has been historical in even other countries, that when an army becomes involved in an election, they're still looming in the background. Whichever government that comes in always has this rear view mirror look, that the army being as powerful as it is and as the threats to overthrow them, they almost become indebted to the army. I hope this is not the situation with Burkina Faso. Tanzania, I think we don't expect anything other than a fair election.
I see. Suleiman?
Yeah, Tanzania, I agree with my colleague, is a very unique country. But what I can say about it, in addition to what my colleague has said there, is that Tanzania has got, it developed from President Nyerere, it has had the luck to grow politicians and to have mature leadership. Actually, Chama Cha Mapinduzi is so unique in the sense that they grow their leadership from the grassroots. You cannot become a national leader when you have not gone through the ranks. So, number one, the leaders who come through Chama Cha Mapinduzi are well-groomed, they are well-trained, they are well-prepared. Number two, the Tanzania, again, Chama cha Mapinduzi still carrying on from where Nyerere left it. It was among the first countries to be able to balance ethnic and religious sentiments or regional sentiments. They are able to balance their leadership. They are able to run away from the diseases of nepotism, of regionalism. In other words, for them, after the party has won election, it is able to develop a national vision, which makes people to forget their differences, to forget their region, to forget their religions, and so on. So because of that, it becomes a unique country that when they win the election, they almost partner with Chama cha Mapinduzi, and they get a national vision which combines everybody within the nation. But we should also not forget that because of the challenges of economic development that are going on, its support is reducing gradually as there is growing unemployment, as there is growing poverty, as corruption is penetrating slowly and slowly. They are beginning to lose some support. So maybe in some years to come, the dominance of Chama cha Mapinduzi will slightly go down. But otherwise, for now, it is still a very strong pattern. We expect it to win.
Yes,
as
we are running out of time. I want just a very, very brief comment on this one. There are some interesting elections, parliamentary elections in March in Egypt. The South Sudan, tentatively in July. There is Libya, of all countries, also, and Sudan itself. So these are elections that people maybe don't even take seriously. Briefly comment on them. Let's begin with Patrick. Just a few 30 seconds.
And I think the reason why people don't take them very seriously is because of the historical, backgrounds. There has not been, again, these have been countries that have, on the background, very strong military involvement. And really, again, it's the power of the military. And therefore, people, it just becomes a process, as I said earlier on, of we have an election, but everybody knows what's going to happen because there's really no strong opposition. The ground is already laid. You don't have any really proper system. It's the army, and they're always looming in the background.
Okay, Suleiman, briefly, very briefly.
Douglas, the election or no election in those particular countries, my take is that the people of Africa need good leadership. So far, right now, we have got a divide of leadership on the continent. No matter what the dictators or whatever, but there is a divide.
I see.
Unemployment is hitting. Poverty is hitting. We don't have interstate trade. Our interstate trade, which is supposed to be a vehicle for economic development, is still rudimentary. Our exports are still commodity-based and raw material, no value added. The basic economic drivers of development like agriculture, tourism, trade are not considered. So by and large, the leadership which we have on the continent is rusty. And the continent, especially the young people, are yearning to get leadership which is proper, which is intellectual alert, which will be able to turn around the economies of these particular countries. Well, Otherwise, we wish them the best of luck, whether it's coming.
And we shall keep monitoring throughout the year to see how the things work out. Well, that's all the time we have for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. Thanks to my colleague, Patrick Deya. Patrick, thanks a lot for being on the show.
Thank you very much, Mpuga.
And thank you, Suleiman.
It's always a pleasure, my dear.
Thank you. Suleiman is a South African-based independent political analyst. Our producer has been Jackson Mvunganyi, and we'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that you can listen to this program if you missed any part of it. If you go to our main website at www.voanews.com, click on Programs, scroll down to Reporters Roundtable, and the program will be there. So until next week, thank you very much for tuning in. On y va, on y va, on y va.